Hello. 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 I don't hear anything. Huh? Hello, is there anyone on this line? Can't hear anything. I'm going to try again. Hello.
Hi, Shoshana Russell.
Hi. Do you think there's a class?
I don't know. I thought there was.
I also did.
Okay, she's not on yet.
No, so you were on since when?
Well, I called before, and then I had to hang up, so I just called now again.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to hang up. I'll call again in a few
yeah.
more minutes. Okay,
I mean,
bye-bye.
She called it for 6:15.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I think I'll do the same. I can hear someone just come on.
Wait,
did
there's
you
someone
have...
on. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to call back.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Rahalaya.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear anybody talking?
I can hear you. I think a couple of people came on, but I don't think Aliza's here. Although what's weird
Aliza is here. We're conducting a class, but we're trying to figure out how come you guys can't get audio if you're calling in.
I'm
live at the class, so we're trying to distinguish what the technical difficulties are. So. Right.
Okay, because I did hear it was recorded, and I thought, how could that be? Because only the administrator can do that.
Okay, we'll see if we can't get everybody on. So just be patient. Elise is trying to reestablish connection here, and hopefully everybody will be able to be on and hear.
Okay, great.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Hi, can anybody hear me on the call now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm not sure who you are.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You should turn your phone down.
I can hear you.
Hello? No. I think the only person is your phone.
Javi, can you hear Aliza now?
Yeah, no, I can't really.
Okay, so you can only hear her through my phone.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, background sound, but it doesn't sound like I can't hear anything more than that.
But now you can hear me, right?
Can you hear her now? Javi, can
nope.
you hear her now? No.
Can so you're not hearing me on my phone?
Okay.
Let me have
Okay, here. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just switched phones. I'm using somebody else's phone, so I'm just going to continue the class this way. I don't know if it's being recorded or not. I mean, I pressed recording for my phone, but I've been teaching for the last half hour. So I hope that it's all on the recording, but it's nice to hear you.
Yeah,
I hope it will be recorded. It said
it did
recorded.
Say it was recording when I came on. So.
Right, no, it should be recorded. No, I know you didn't, but it said it's being recorded when you called in, so the recording should be continued.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out as we continue. Anyway, we're in Derech Hashem, section 2, chapter 8, the second paragraph, and I'm just going to continue from where I was going because I do have the three live students here, and I did record, and I'm hoping that it's still on the recording, and hopefully Chava, you and I can talk later. But let's just start with continuing with this. So what was I up to? Let's see, we're talking about the systems and what system that we're run by, that we can choose the system of Elohim or we can choose the system of HaTeva. So we're really towards the end of that second paragraph, and I think we're ready to move on to the third paragraph. Right, and I just have a note in the second paragraph for the last, my note that I made is for the last verse of Adon Olam, which is Biado Afkid Ruchi, in his hand I deposit my soul, the Eit Ishan V'A'ira, in the time that I sleep and I wake up. And with my soul, also my body. Hashem leave alo ira. Hashem is with me, and I will not fear. So this whole paragraph is talking about how Hashem Sashkacha is over us both spiritually and physically, and that last paragraph of Adon Olam is that I give Hashem, I deposit my whole self, my body and my soul with Hashem. And once I make that deposit, that where it says afkid, once I place my soul and my body in Hashem's care, then Hashem is with me, v'lo ira, then Hashem is with me, there's no need to fear. It doesn't mean that everything will be easy, but there's no need to fear it. That's one of the mantras I use with my children, certainly like when they were scared of thunder or things like that. I taught them just to repeat that phrase. It's something they all knew from shul, to sing Adon Olam, but Hashem li v'lo ira, Hashem is with me, I will not fear. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that there's no need to be scared of it. So you could separate difficulty from fear. Okay, let's move to the third paragraph, chapter 8, section 2. Okay, as we've already discussed, darkness and worldliness are firmly rooted in man's condition in this world. Combined and joined with this, however, is some illumination, which results in knowledge and enlightenment. When a person is first born, he's irrational and has little intelligence. As he grows, his intellect likewise matures. The cause of all this, however, is God's influence. It is as a direct result of this influence that man gains every quality and characteristic, both in general and in particular. The source of all such things is either the light of God's presence or its absence, which, as discussed earlier, is the root of the existence of good or evil, wherever they may be found. They both come about as a result of whether God reveals or conceals his light in the manner decreed by the highest wisdom. So let's go back for just a minute. We just finished this long period of Yontif, and it's interesting to think about the meaning of the days and what they're about. But the Derech Hashem, in a little bit later in the book, discusses, and I actually had to do the math because it just didn't seem like it could add up, but it does, that one-fifth of our days in the calendar are holy days. If you add up all the Shabbats, right, that's a seventh of our life, and then you add in Yontif, including Chol HaMoed, and you get to one-fifth of all the days of our year are days of Kedusha. So what is that about? Hashem sent us into this world to journey through the physical in order to accomplish the spiritual. And the physical, depending on who we are and depending on the Hashkacha that Hashem is behaving towards us with, we either have higher or lower levels of interference from the physical or opportunities to grow. You could call it interference, right? Let's say somebody has a strong passion for this or strong desire for that. It could be seen as interference. Or hopefully as one grows and matures, one sees rather than interference, could see it as opportunities to grow through. You know, when I first started out parenting and I had, you know, a particularly difficult child, And I knew that it was hard, and I knew it was a test. And I remember, you know, talking to Tehila Yegervat, and she said, it's a test. And my father came to visit, and he saw this child crazy all over the house, and he said, what's up with this kid? I said, it's a test. My father said, well, what do you get if you pass that test? I was like, I don't know. So I went back, and I'm like, well, what do I get if I pass the test? Now I have a much deeper understanding of what a test is. It's not about passing the test. It's not about being challenged by God or being presented with a test. It's about, how can I help you grow? What opportunities will I present to you, Hashem says? How can I custom design your life, the people that are in your life, the encounters that you have? How can I custom design and set it all up for you, not to create interference, but to create workshops for your growth? So you need to grow in a certain way. You need to have this kind of a child. You need to have that kind of a spouse. You need to have that kind of a job opportunity or loss, that kind of a health condition, that kind of a place to live in. You need to live in that century. You need to live in that environment, in that political climate, whatever it is, right? Think about how our lives are so different than if we would have been born in Saudi Arabia. In the same year that we were born, right? But how different would our lives be? So we weren't. We were born here, wherever here is for each of us on the call at this point, right? So, but that's because Hashem chose that place to be born, to provide the right workshop for us, each one of us, in our own place. So nevertheless, even though we were placed into this physical world, the goal is to become spiritual. And the physical world is distracting. It can interfere quite significantly with the spiritual process, which is why Hashem created spiritual oases in the name of Shabbos and Yom Tov, that we have these extra times. On Shabbos, we actually get an extra soul. Here's an interesting piece of information for you. Those of you in the room, I'll test your trivia, or anybody on the call too. What do we not use for Havdalah at the end of Yom Tov that we do use at the end of Shabbos? That's correct. The fire and the spices. We don't use fire at the end of Yom Tov because we're allowed to use fire on Yom Tov. Why don't we use spices? So the first question is, why do we use spices? What's the point of smelling spices at the end of Shabbos? Well, the sweetness, but why do we need to smell of sweetness?
To carry us forward.
Carry us forward? Why? Why do we need that to carry us forward?
Just as a remembrance of what we've left. I
don't know. Okay, good. Good. So on Shabbos, we actually get an extra soul. We've all heard about it. Turns out that extra soul is hungry and particularly likes chocolates and desserts, right? So so we feed the Neshama Yetera. Really, we should be feeding that extra piece of soul with extra learning and connection and davening, which we do also on Shabbos. There's an extra tefillot to feed the soul. Right? But we joke about it, you know, needing extra dessert so we could take seconds for a Neshama Yetera. But that's not really, right? But what happens at the end of Shabbos is that Neshama Yetera leaves. The whole reason we get the extra soul is because there is so much more spirituality inherent in the day that we need extra spiritual capacity to be able to absorb it. So we're gifted with an extra soul chunk to be able to absorb the extra Kedusha that's in the day of Shabbos. But at the end of Shabbos, that extra soul leaves us. And it leaves the soul that's left behind in a level of distress. And so we smell the spices, the most ethereal, we trigger the most ethereal of all of our senses, smelling spices to try to comfort the soul that's left behind. On Yom Tov, however, we also get an extra soul, but it doesn't depart. So whatever spiritual headway we make on Yom Tov, but however we incorporate that extra piece of soul into us on Yom Tov stays. So we don't need to smell spices at the end of Yom Tov because we don't have to comfort the soul that's left behind because it wasn't left behind. Just the new part of spirituality became incorporated into us and it's permanent, whatever.
It changes with me. With me, I get an addition to, like an add-on.
Well, it's not a change of the existing. We're going to see in the next section when we do the soul and its influence. After this chapter, it's not a change like we get a whole extra level, like, you know, the five levels of the soul that we talk about. It's more of a,
Yes, changing capacities increase. Sort of in a way, I guess you could use a muscle like education. Right? The more you learn, the more you can learn. You can't learn calculus before you learn algebra and geometry and things like that. And you can't learn algebra and geometry before you learn multiplication and division and addition and subtraction. And you can't learn addition and subtraction until you learn numbers and place values. Right? So you have to progress from one to another to increased capacity.
Okay, so
it is increased capacity.
Okay.
It's the same brain, it's the same mass zone that's doing calculus that was doing numbers and number placement. But until you've increased your capacity through exercising that part of your brain, you can't get from one to the next. You can't start with number value and go straight into calculus. You have to increase your capacity first. It's not just but there are prerequisites. You have to go through certain levels in order to accomplish things, but you have to increase your capacity. So Yom Tov and Shabbos are both spiritual oases in this world that allows us to tap into spirituality so that we can make it through this darkness, make it through the physical morass, and still tap into the light. So let's just look. We don't have that much time left. We're actually extending here, but we'll see. Back into the text, and I just want to look at these words a little bit. The influence of God's illumination thus results in such qualities as Ribui, Zakus, and Yakar. We'll translate them. So here he says Ribui is advantage, but I'm going to translate that in additional ways. Clarity, Zakus, and value, Yakar. The concealment of Hashem's light, on the other hand, brings about disadvantage, Chisaron, opaqueness, Avius, and worthlessness, Shiflus. So let's just look at those words for a minute. So first, just to make sure that we have this concept, everything good only exists because of the illumination provided by God. It's all about God's light being revealed. Everything bad only exists because Hashem's light is concealed. So light is that which reveals all the goodness, is the source of all the goodness, is Hashem and his light. And that's shining all the time. And it's up to us to either uncover it, because sometimes Hashem puts barriers in its way, like this world. Right? This world is called Olam, which means hidden. So Hashem set the world up where his light is hidden. But in addition to that, there's Hester Panim, additional concealment of Hashem's light. And in addition to that, we shut our eyes, right? And we sometimes shut our eyes for a long time, or we sometimes do things that cause us not to be able to perceive the light. You know, like, let's say staring at a flash, right? And then even though our eyes are open, we can't see very clearly. So sometimes we stare at spiritual negative flashes. We do whatever, Avera. And that causes us to not be able to see well, even if our eyes are open. Even if we think we're really looking, we can't see well. So there's all those ways to conceal the light, and that would lead to chisaron, disadvantage, or opaqueness when you can't see light through it.
So opaqueness is that thing in the right view.
Well, you're not seeing what's really there. So it's right, it's there, but you can't see it because it's opaque. There's a veil that's opaque and in between you and what's actually there. So you can't see it. You can't perceive it. It's not just you can't see it. It doesn't have an influence in your life. Right? So if you use room darkening shades, it's bright as day outside. But as soon as you pull that shade, especially if it's a good one, properly covering the window, it's dark in your room. The light is there, but you can't feel it. You can't read by it. You can't find your slippers by it. You can't navigate the room, but you need a light, right? So the light is fully there, but it's not influencing your life if there's an opaque thing in between you and the light.
There's something in the great Talmud about we see through a glass dark.
Right, an aspeclaria. We talk about the aspeclaria, behira or not behira, right? So that there is a lens, so it depends on how the lens works, right? So we'll talk about that when we talk about prophecy, that Moshe Rabbeinu is had the clearest lens and the other lenses were darker, but yeah, we'll hold that. Because I want to just focus for a minute on this word, ribui, advantage. So ribui, the root is rav, reshbet. Rav is the same root as teacher, rabbi. Right? It's the same root as rov, most of. It's the same root as Rav, a lot of. It's the same root as Revu, multiply, like Pru, Revu. So I learned this past week when I was learning the Parsha, it first discusses the word Revu, Pru, Revu. So Pru is have kids. Revu is make them like you. So that's interesting. You're not supposed to make them into a mini-me. They have to be themselves. But when it says Revu, it could mean multiply, be fruitful and multiply. So it could be, and halachically we see this, could be have a boy and a girl. That's Pru. But have a boy and a girl who can both have a boy and a girl. That's Revu. That's a multiplication. You have to have it so that it can geometrically expand, right? So halachically, you fulfill the requirement of Pru or Revu once you've had a girl and a boy who are both healthy enough themselves to have a girl and a boy. Then you fulfilled that mitzvah. So that's the halachic parameters. But then the hashkafic parameter is, what does that mean, Revu? It's not enough just to have kids. That's the Pru part, just to give birth to them. But you've got to bring them into Kol Yisrael, bring them into your vision, bring them into what you're supposed to be accomplishing, which is why some people can fulfill the mitzvah of Pru or Revu through just the Revu. Some people who are not don't merit to have children, but do merit to influence others to have good character traits, to trust in Hashem, to be good people in the world, to grow themselves. That is Revu, right? That teaching, that helping people become like you, not like you in your taste, but like you in your broader philosophic underpinnings of trust and hard work and desire to make a good difference in the world. That's the Revu aspect. And so a parent is not acquitted with just the Pru. They also have to accomplish the Revu. And those people who are not zoicha to the Pru, who don't merit to have children, can still fulfill through the Revu, through the working on the multiplying. But so here it translates the word Revu as advantage. But you can see how it's the increase, the advantage, the positivity. That's the illumination of God in the world, God's influence illuminating, then results in that goodness expanding, the Ravness, right, the increase of it. That's what the Rav means. And hopefully that's what a Rav does, is help one, guide one in that process of growth. It also leads to Zakus, to Zakut, to clarity, right, to being able to see things with clarity. When Hashem's illuminating, you have the clarity. We see that clearly in the mushal of light. When you have good light, you see things clearly. When you have poor light, you see things poorly. So with Hashem's light, you have the spiritual clarity. And then also value. Yakar. Anybody who remembers in this room, Dr. Elephant, he would say Yikirati. He would call us, you know, how are you, Yikirati? My dear one, my dear friend. Right? So that's this root here is Yakar. Means dear, of value. So the more that Hashem's light is illuminated, the more value there is in something, true value. And then the opposite is the case also. The less light you see, the more disadvantage, more chisaron, the more opaqueness, the more worthlessness there is. The lower one feels, rather than valued, they feel a devalue. So we'll just end on this thought for now, and we'll have to pick up in the middle of the paragraph because it's late, real self-esteem, right, comes from the real value. That's what esteem is, as opposed to shiflut, the lack of value, the feeling of the lack of value. So genuine self-esteem is based in one's ability to genuinely become the kli through which Hashem's light is revealed in the world. And that is a quality that Sarah Imenu possessed, right? Her other name, anybody know her other name, Sarah? Is also called Sarai is her first name from before it was changed to Sarah, but she's mentioned earlier, Yiska, Jessica in English, right? Yiska, but Yiska means see through. So transparent. So Sarah was able to live in a way where she was such a channel for Hashem's light that Hashem just flowed through her, and her sense of self did not conceal God. So she was that radiant that just Hashem was able to be transparent, and Hashem shined through her.
A lot of improper things can be very simple. in the garden.
Right. Yes. Right. So that's good. You're talking about that transparency and fingernails. So we're looking at our fingernails and our thumb each time we're typing our fingernails are looking over. You were back before that person, just to give us that little, this is what you could aspire to when you have a, just a little hint left on you, to be able to remind you of that. So you see the light shining in our fingernails. For that reason, some women do not look at their fingernails, Mandala, of the fact that Eve is the one that caused the problem. But that's not a universal custom, but it is a custom that some women don't because of that, because it is Eve that was the instigator.
Because it's spurring on in a positive
way. Right. So anyway, so what we just want to finish with this concept, it's in the middle of the paragraph and we'll have to pick up next time, but that true self-esteem, true value comes from being the one who can channel Hashem's light in the world, and the sense of worthlessness, shiftless, is when one is opaque and is not channeling Hashem's light in the world. So if you want to understand the root of self-esteem, it's not telling somebody, Shefali, you're the most exotic in the world, you're so fabulous, it's helping them be that. It's not giving them false praise, but it's helping them understand that the real value comes when they are Hashem-like and helping them be that tzaddik. Of course, we want to use positive words and refer to children and to others too, you know, show them what they can be. But in this false self-esteem culture that we've created over the last 40 years has not led to increased self-esteem. In fact, the contrary. So self-esteem really comes from real, true accomplishment. And not just from somebody saying you're fabulous no matter what you do. Right. So the revelation, the deepest root is the ability to reveal Hashem's light. And the deepest root of a lack of self-esteem, worthlessness, is when one is a light concealer. And they use their physical to conceal Hashem's light. So from there, I guess I'll pause and ask if there's any questions from anybody.
Would you speak up just a little bit? Because it's not that clear.
Pardon?
Would you speak up a little bit?
Okay, so I will next time speak up a little bit more. I'm sorry that it's not that clear. I hope we could resolve. I'm not sure what the technical issue was. I hope it'll be more clear next time. But now I'm going to end it unless you have a specific question because it is 12 o'clock and we're supposed to end at 12 unless you have a question, a specific question.
Nope. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you to everybody, and we'll resume next week at the same time. Whatever, I guess I said 12 o'clock for me, but that's mountain time. So whatever you want.